sweep and fury of the resurrection. There's a new world a-coming. Today and every Sunday at this hour, WMCA, in cooperation with the Citywide Citizens Committee on Harlem, brings you a series of vivid programs dramatizing the inner meanings of Negro life, based on the prize-winning bestseller New World A-Coming by Roy Otley, starring Canada Lee as narrator and Maurice Ellis as Tim Jones. In honor of Negro Health Week, we present the story of the Negro and Health.
A boatload of nonsense is told about the Negro's health, or ill health. Popular theories say that Negroes are a dying race, bound to lose out in the struggle for survival. Some declare that Negroes breed like rabbits. Others maintain that Negroes have a peculiar lack of resistance to disease that is distinctly racial. Such theories have been proven to be scientifically wrong, but promoters of race prejudice ignore truth. Instead, they gather ponderous statistics to bolster this or that point of view. What actually is wrong with the health of a great section of the Negro population is our story today.
Say, did you hear about Tim Jones being dead?
Dead? Tim Jones? Why, that's powerful hard to believe. What was it, an accident?
No, they tell me he died of TB.
TB? You must be joking. That's impossible. I worked with Tim and he was husky and healthy as any one of us. TB? That's impossible.
Impossible, huh? Well, it ain't so impossible. He's dead.
Tuberculosis is the greatest killer of Negroes. Today, nearly a half million Negroes throughout the United States are suffering with the disease. Oh, these are obviously disquieting figures, so let's poke among the ruins of Tim Jones's life, which is fairly typical, and see what happened. Perhaps the answer lies there. Tim was a sharecropper on the Kennedy Plantation in the Deep South. One day, Tim's employer, Mr. Kennedy, received a visit from a government health officer.
Sir, I don't like you government men meddling in my private business. Now say what you have to say and get going, huh?
Mr. Kennedy, I'm afraid I must speak to you in all frankness. I've looked around your plantation very carefully, and the conditions under which the Negroes live is horrible.
What you saying, sir?
If you don't do something quick, you'll have an epidemic of some kind on your hands.
But I've done all the things, mister. Many things. I screened the Negro cabins to keep out malaria mosquitoes. A couple of years ago, I had some of them vaccinated against typhoid.
Yes, but why don't you screen those privies and those miserable hovels in which they live? Why, they're not fit for pigs. Why, you have two and three families sleeping and eating in one cabin.
You ain't fixing on telling me to treat them Negroes same as white, is you, sir?
I'm only telling you that you wouldn't have a health problem if you treated them as human beings and not as cattle.
Now, this, sir, is a matter of dollars and cents to me. I know it don't pay to keep sick livestock, but sickly Negroes. Now, that's something else.
But, Mr. Kennedy, you've got a responsibility to these people.
Sir, let me tell you something. I called the croppers together once, and I told them I had the healthiest mules in the South. I didn't want them driven by men coughing and spitting all over the place. I said you ought to be as good as a mule. Now, you see that old woman over there?
Yes.
She ain't seen a day in school, but bright as a whip. Well, last year, her grandson, Tim Jones, was hacking with cold. Could hardly drag himself around. She gave him a little medicine. Now, he does as good day work as any man on the place. I'll call over for you. Hey, Susie!
Yes?
Come on over here. Why don't you talk to this government man here? He's got some wrong idea about the way you colored folks is treated here.
Yes.
Tell me about your grandson. Mr. Kennedy says he's been pretty sick.
Martin, he only got indigestion. It just takes him that way every time he got a little cold. He'll start coughing, and it hurts him all in his chest. And you can hear him trying to get his breath. And he just has that indigestion with it every time. Sometime I fix a little mare's milk and herbs, and I rub his chest with kerosene, and then he's fine. Ain't nothing to it.
Sounds to me like Tim should be out of this slum. Maybe in a sanatorium.
Oh, sure. Ain't nothing wrong with that nigger. Nothing a little work won't cure. Why, Tim's as strong as a mule. Ain't he, Susie? He sure is. Strong as a mule.
Years later, Tim Jones married Emily, a wisp of a girl from the cabin next door. Two babies were born to them. They kept Emily and Tim poor as well as happy. But then one day, they were to be saddened by the death of one of their children.
But, Doctor, is you sure it was TB?
Not sure, Mrs. Jones, but an autopsy might show something.
Tim?
Hmm?
What you think?
None of that. Ain't gonna let him cut up my baby. Don't believe in that TB nohow.
Well, I don't understand it either. Where could that crop up from?
Anybody in the family ever have TB? How about you, Tim? Ever had a bad sickness?
No, I don't think so. Little cold now and again, but nothing real serious.
Hey, Tim.
Hmm?
Didn't your mother's brother have that galloping consumption when he lived here with us?
Yeah, but everyone knows he picked that up traveling in them dirty Jim Crow cars.
Mm-hmm. Tim, have you ever been to a hospital to have your chest tested?
What's that?
X-ray.
Oh, that. Well, I ain't had no time, Doc. Too many mouths to feed and food sky high. I still owe you money, and you know old man Kennedy. He ain't paying nobody for time that takes off, sick or no sick.
Does he ever give you time to rest?
Oh, a little, but most of the spare time I got, I've been using trying to build a room onto this here cabin. We're getting mighty tired of eating and sleeping and doing all in one room.
Well, I think you should go to the hospital in town and let them have a look at your chest.
Well, I don't know.
Well, it's up to you. Oh, here's the death certificate for the child. Let me hear from you if you decide to go to the hospital.
Doc, I ain't going to no hospital. Mammy's herb tea and kerosene is all I need.
Well, good day. I'm sorry about the baby.
Oh, there you goes again, a coughing and a coughing. Tim, why don't you do as that doctor says?
Oh, woman, there ain't nothing wrong with me. Now, if I could go to that hospital down the road a piece, I wouldn't have to take off too much time from Mr. Kennedy's job. But who's got time to go 60 miles of town?
Maybe they might do something at the hospital down the road if Mr. Kennedy speaks for you.
Now, Emily, you know better than that. That hospital is for white folks only.
Oh, well, I was only
wondering.
You
remember when them colored folks got injured on the road last week in that automobile accident? What did the white folks do?
Let them poor colored folks almost bleed themselves to death until the colored ambulance came 60 miles all the way from town.
Even then, did they let them in this hospital here? No. They joyride them all the way back to town to the colored hospital.
And that woman, she died too.
Sure did. Well, just last week, one of the boys was telling me she was a big college professor or something.
I just don't understand them kind of white folks.
Me neither. They treat colored people as though they was animals.
In a way, I don't blame you for not going to that dirty clinic back in this town.
And that ain't the worst of it. Those white folks running the place, you've got Negro men and women in the same room being examined.
Tain't right. Tain't right.
Yeah, and you got to stand in the street by the door before you're called in. Everybody walking along knows what you're sick with.
Yeah, you needn't say no more. You're right. I remember when I was there before the baby. The white doctor with that funny eye says to me, "Come over here, Mandy, and lift your dress." And he says that before all them folks looking, too.
Now, that settles it. I ain't going to no hospital. I'll get Mammy to fix me up some of them ear potions.
A few years rolled by. Tim had been feeling none too well. He was losing weight. A day's work made him extremely tired. But Tim was like thousands of the simple folk, isolated from modern health standards, with little education and no contact. One day, Tim managed to squeeze in a trip to town to bring back farm equipment. While the truck was being loaded, Tim talked with a few of his city friends loitering around the warehouse.
Well, man, that sounds like the graveyard.
You better see a doctor.
Oh, a little ear to you make me okay.
How long you been coughing that way, Tim?
Just a short time. Pain nothing. Just been working too hard and smoking too much.
Well, if you ask me, I'd go find me a doctor quick. City folks don't let things like that run.
Well, man, you could slip over there to the hospital in no time and be back time the loading was finished.
Man, go ahead. We'll watch your truck.
Tim finally got to the hospital. His condition was recognized immediately. He was given a complete examination. While Tim waited in the anteroom, the doctor spoke with the head nurse.
Oh, yes. You're the new intern from New York. Dr. Cranston, is that right?
Yes. And your name is?
I'm Miss Ball, in charge of nurses.
I'm pleased to meet you. This is my first day. I'm afraid I'll have to lean heavily on you to steer me right.
I'll be glad to be of service, Dr. Cranston.
Miss Ball, here's the diagnosis of the Tim Jones case. He's got an advanced tuberculosis. Been carrying it around for years. Needs to be hospitalized.
How soon, doctor?
Immediately. As a matter of fact, he should have been hospitalized long ago.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, doctor. There are no beds available.
But he's dying on his feet.
But you see, doctor, we have an awfully long waiting list.
Well, when do you think he can take them?
Oh, not for at least 6 months, and there's nothing certain about that.
What about that hospital across the square? They have spare beds there?
You don't mean the Bellevue.
I do.
Why, Dr. Cranston, you're forgetting. You're in the South. Negroes are not admitted into white hospital.
Even if the patient's in a critical condition?
It makes no difference. The races are separate in this part of the country.
But the poor devil will spread the disease. He may infect his wife and child. Eventually infect white people, too.
Sorry. He'll just have to wait his turn like all the others.
Now, this is barbarous. If the people of the South don't want to admit Negroes to their hospitals, then why in thunder don't they provide facilities for them? Inequality has no place in medicine.
Why this inequality? We know some of the reasons. Ignorance, indifference, and prejudice in many public officials. More important, though, is the fact that this attitude diminishes the chance of cure in those who contract any sort of disease, and they become a menace to the whole community. In the vast majority of cases, Negroes go unhospitalized because beds are not available. In one of the larger southern cities, nearly one-fourth of all Negroes dying died without medical care. This is the way in which a mayor of a southern city expressed himself to a group of citizens asking that a hospital for tuberculosis be erected in the city.
Ain't no point in building the TB sanatorium in this town.
Because white people never catch TB. And what's the use of building the sanatorium for colored people only?
The year that mayor made that statement, 1941, there were more than 100 white people who were active TB cases in his own city. 500 Negroes. Also, active TB cases were walking about the city. Yet no hospital beds anywhere in the city were available to Negroes. Tim returned to the plantation a sick man. When he went on with his old ways of living, hard work, poor diet, little rest, what else could he do? Meanwhile, Mr. Kennedy was getting increasingly annoyed with Tim's lack of efficiency.
Hey, Tim, what you doing there, hiding and sleeping at the height of day?
Yes, Mr. Kennedy.
I say, why ain't you working, man?
Don't feel none too well, sir.
Nothing but that bad corn you niggers drink Saturday nights, that's all.
You know I don't drink, sir.
Well, I ain't paying you to sleep in the sun all day.
I'll make it up, sir.
I've been saying that for months. That's me just a lazy no-con negra. Nah, get up from there and get back to work.
But sir...
Come on, get up here.
All right, I was getting up.
What's wrong with you, man?
I got moths in my lungs.
That's nonsense.
But sir...
What? Hey, Susie! Come on, get your no-count grandson here.
Yes.
Drunk?
No, sir. Tim's just burnt out. Worn down to a fast. He's just taken a long journey.
Oh, let me see here. Tim, come on, wake up, man. Tim! A trough of negroes dead.
Something has been omitted from Tim Jones' story, the story of thousands and thousands of Negroes. It's the story of what happens to the whites.
Mr. Kennedy, you got the pit.
And there's a rest, Susie. Ain't been feeling too good lately.
And you don't mind my saying so, sir. That call sounds mighty much like my poor boy, Tim.
Yes. Tim died a few years ago. And Mr. Kennedy is on the verge of death today, all through lack of proper medical care and facilities. But recently a start has been made in the right direction. People in America are beginning to receive the sort of care, attention, and education necessary to good living. These are needed for national efficiency, especially in a nation at war. Even in the Deep South, there are agencies carrying the banner for civic rights and health for Negroes as well as white people. If Tim Jones were alive today and had he taken his truck into town to bring back some farm equipment, his city friends may have talked to him like this.
Why, hello,
Howdy, Tim. How have you been?
Oh, so, Charlie.
Oh, what you know, Tim?
Nothing much. How's things with you, Shorty?
Can't complain. You got that cough, eh?
Yeah. Can't get rid of it.
Well, man, that sounds like the graveyard. If you ask me, you better check it quick.
Oh, a little broth will make me okay.
Broth? Man, you need an x-ray.
When am I going to get that? Where? You know a place?
Listen, we's members of the Sharecroppers Union, and we've been finding out about them things.
Yeah, man, the union ain't waiting around for the community to provide x-rays. They bring them to the workers.
Every month, too. Lots of boys caught that mess in time.
Say, country, you is lucky. Just today, the union had an x-ray truck.
That ain't the name. Who says not? Me, it's called a mobile truck.
Okay, a mobile truck. And in it's an x-ray machine just outside the Union Hall, across the way.
Is that it? That big white truck?
Yeah. Why, man, you could slip over there in no time and be back in time the loading was finished.
Well.
Oh, go ahead, man. Charlie will watch your truck.
Sure.
Come on, I'll go with you.
Why, okay, let's go.
Yes, unions in the South, notably the CIO, are bringing the advantages of modern medical science to their membership, no longer waiting for the community to give this service. So too are the United States Public Health Service and the TB Association is bringing education and health facilities to workers, white and black alike. Prejudice is being overcome. Hardly enough, but there is a beginning. There has been a slight increase in the number of hospital beds, and there has been an educational program set in motion in schools throughout the North and South. This is the trend today.
You have been listening to New World A-Coming, the sixth in a series of programs devoted to the Negro's contribution to American life. Starring in today's broadcast were Canada Lee as narrator and Maurice Ellis as Tim Jones. We invite you to be with us again next Sunday at 3:03. The radio dramatizations of New World A-Coming are written by Roy Otley and based on Mr. Otley's book by the same name. The program is produced and directed by Mitchell Grayson. John Velasco assisted. Music by John Gart was conducted by Bill Wurgis. The theme song was composed by Duke Ellington. Members of the cast were Ralph Bell as Kennedy, Hilda Offley as Emily, Martin Wolfson as the government inspector, James Fuller as Shorty, Andrew Pendleton as Charlie, Randy Eccles as the first doctor, Ethel Everett as the nurse, Betty Burghardt as Susie, and Joseph Julian as the second doctor. This was a public service feature of WMCA. James speaking. This is America's leading independent station.